Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel is stepping down after less than 2 years on the job. Secretary Hagel says he will stay on the job until the Senate confirms his replacement. That resignation starts the biggest insider's game in Washington, the name game. The names of folks who might potentially replace Secretary Hagel are bouncing all over Washington. We are transcending the name game on In-Depth this afternoon. Major General Arnold Panaro, U.S. Marine Corps retired as CEO of the Panaro Group, chairman of the National Defense Industrial Association, and thinking about what will happen next for the position of the Secretary of Defense. General, it's a pleasure to have you on the program. Thanks for coming on. We spoke when the former Deputy Secretary of Defense, Ash Carter, left and was eventually replaced by Bob Work about the attributes of a successful next COO, essentially, of the Department of Defense. Same situation here, General. What are your thoughts about the type of person and the skill set required to replace Secretary Hagel at this point in time? Thanks for being on today, sir.
Well, Francis, glad to join you again, and I think you've focused on the right target, which is what are the characteristics, what are the qualifications for the next Secretary of Defense? And since we talked about the previous circumstance, there are four really dramatic changes that have occurred since then. One, the world is more unstable. Two, it's more unpredictable and more dangerous. Three, we have less resources and money to deal with that. And four, there's less of a consensus on how to deal with all the three challenges that I mentioned above. And so the next Secretary of Defense is going to have to be someone that can transcend these very adverse developments. And so for starters, it's got to be someone that the president has total confidence in, but also who will listen to. Two, it's got to be someone that's highly respected by our military and to a lesser extent the civilians, Pentagon leaders. It's got to be someone that can work in a bipartisan or nonpartisan way with Capitol Hill, particularly given the circumstance that you're now going to have a Congress that's totally repelled on both sides by a Republican, and Senator John McCain will be chairing the confirmation hearing. Now, he's been through 10 secretaries of defense since he's been in the Congress, so he's been around the block a few times and knows how to do this. And I think the other person has got to be someone that complements the strengths of the current deputy, Bob Work, who is truly excelling as the chief operating officer of the Pentagon. That's for starters.
He was one of the names that popped up, and that's immediately where I went in my own brain with no influence by outside forces, General. But the first thing I thought of is, I wonder why you'd move a guy who was doing, by all accounts, a terrific job as the COO of the agency.
Well, as you know, you and I have talked about this before. I call it, when all these names get mentioned, I call it the great mentioner, because a lot of people speculate about who may get this or that job. And the people that speculate don't really know, and the people that really know don't talk. And so President Obama, maybe his chief of staff, and maybe one or two others in the White House probably know who they're seriously looking at, and they're not talking. Bob Work is doing a truly exceptional job as the chief operating officer of the Pentagon. Secretary Hagel and Secretary Work divvied up the responsibilities. The Secretary of Defense should be the external face of the department. The Secretary of Defense ought to be focusing on current operations, ought to be focusing on the threat, the Congress, foreign governments, and the deputy ought to be focusing on being Mr. or Mrs. Inside, focusing on budget programs and acquisitions. And so the secretary leads and the deputy manages. The secretary sets the vision, and the deputy makes sure it's work. That's the right division of labor, and Secretary Work is truly exceptional at the task he's doing. And so I would think they should be looking at someone that has the external focus that I just described.
Those four points that you listed at the beginning of our conversation, General, I think very eloquently hit all of the high points of the requirements or of the landscape that a new SecDef will face. More unstable world, more dangerous and unpredictable world, fewer dollars to deal with, and less consensus about strategy. I want to focus on the last two primarily because the foreign policy issues can be left to others to work over. You're right, there's no indication that more money is coming anytime soon. But we do hear at least a little bit of rumbling on the Hill that some folks might at least try. The Pentagon says they're going to ask for more money, and there are some folks that seem to believe that it's possible to get a new leadership in HASC under Congressman Thornberry, a new leadership in SASC under Senator McCain, to at least try to pressure the appropriators to provide more money. Is that landscape possible in any world that you're living in right now, General?
Well, I would say that what we need for the country's sake is the grand compromise to put our nation's fiscal house in order, which means you've got to deal with military and domestic entitlements, you've got to deal with revenues in the tax base, and you've got to deal with reducing spending, and you do it over a 10-year period. That's not on the horizon anywhere. So the most that we could hope for is another probably 2-year deal. I would say that you have new leadership in Mac Thornberry taking over as chairman of the House Armed Services Committee, Senator McCain taking over as chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee. Between the two of them, they have 52 years of experience working on Capitol Hill, and both of them have adamantly talked about the need to get rid of the sequester. So they're going to be two very persuasive voices in terms of trying to get the Congress, and the administration is going to have a budget request that asks for $116 billion more than the sequester caps would allow for FY16 through the future year defense plan. So you're going to have a Democratic president in this time of great turmoil and concern with Russia and with Syria and with Iran and with North Korea and with ISIL, asking for a higher level for defense spending that the budget caps will allow. And I just find it hard to believe that a new Republican-led Senate and House is going to give the Pentagon less money for defense than the administration asked for. If you ask me today, how are they going to get around the sequester caps? I can't tell you today how they're going to fix it, but I think with the strong leadership that we'll have from Chairman Thornberry and Chairman McCain, they've been around a long time. They are highly respected. And by the way, the Democratic leadership of the two Armed Services Committee and Adam Smith and Jack Reed, they're opposed to the sequester as well. So I think you'll hear the National Defense Committees in Congress speaking out very strongly against the sequester.
Well, there's also a political precedent here that could make this new Republican leadership in both chambers very uneasy, because if they're not able to come up with something at least for 2 years that replaces the sequester, it will be very easy in 2016 for Democrats on the Senate to be able to say, well, when we led the Senate, we were able to get a deal. We got the Murray-Ryan Bipartisan Budget Act through, and they can't even do it when they're running it all by themselves.
Right. You make some very good points, but frankly, we shouldn't be focusing on who gets credit or who gets the blame. The right thing to do in the world that we live in today, again, it's more unpredictable, it's more threatening, it's a very dangerous world. The right thing to do is to lift the sequester caps, not just on defense, but on domestic spending. I mean, NIH has had their budgets severely constrained in recent years, and of course they're the front line of the battle against Ebola and other dreaded diseases that are out there. So it's just the wrong way to run a government. And again, you're going to have two people with tremendous experience at the helms of the Armed Services Committee and at the helms of the Defense Appropriations Subcommittees. They get this, and I think the argument ought to be on the merits and not on the politics.
Well, you're correct. You're exactly correct about that, and you're correct about what the right thing to do is and what the wrong way to run a government is. And sadly, that's not always the number one factor that in some of these decisions getting made. Back to the selection of another Secretary of Defense and the consensus idea. It does strike me that if we do see an agreement for something that replaces the sequester for somewhere in that 2 years to 10 years range that we've discussed so far in our conversation, General, maybe that bodes well for the idea of more consensus and more of an ability, at least for the last 2 years of this administration, for a Republican Congress and a Democratic administration to agree at least on defense issues.
Well, the starting point for any budget deliberations and any resource considerations ought to be strategy. And I know for a fact that I've saw Senator McCain quoted, and I don't have any inside information here, but I've seen him quoted publicly that he's going to start with strategy, as did his predecessor, my old boss, Senator Sam Nunn, as did Senator John Tower, who I know was a role model to Senator McCain. You start with strategy. What is the strategy to deal with the very dangerous threats we face? Once you get a determination of that and a consensus on that, then you can determine, okay, what's the level of resources that we need to apply to implement that strategy. And you're right. We need to get back to, when it comes to national security, politics stops at the water's edge. You know, that was the saying in the late 70s, the great Democratic Senator Scoop Jackson, John Tower, and many others, Barry Goldwater, Sam Nunn, John Stennis. We need to get back to that because the country is facing some of the most difficult threats and challenges we've seen in our lifetime, and politics has no part in the decisions that will keep this country safe and secure for not just the next couple of weeks, but for the next 20 years.